Amen. Can I take very few questions? Yes, give the microphone.
My question is, it's like a personal question. So I want to ask, someone that have received the Holy Ghost, and I still struggle with one particular sin, have I received the Holy Ghost? Because I do ask myself question, if I have received the Holy Ghost, and since then I have been praying, because I had your teachings. And I also had another teaching that said that I should just believe. That when I believe, that it is done. And that teaching quoted a scripture in the book of Mark chapter 16, verse 15, which says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." And I have no sign to back up that I am a child of God, that I have the Holy Ghost. I don't have any sign. And that person is trying to tell me that I have this one, I have this one. But I am not seeing the way I want to see it. I'm not seeing it. So I want to ask, if I say that I have received the Holy Ghost, but I still struggle with one particular thing, and when that thing comes, I don't want to do it, but, you know, I will be struggling within me. So have I really received the Holy Ghost? That is my question.
That's a very good question. Clap your hands for her now. Listen very well. When you receive the Holy Ghost, verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, listen to what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This is for those who have received the Holy Ghost. This instruction. Galatians chapter 5. It says, "This I say then." What did he say? What did he say? "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 17. "For this flesh that we have lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." When you have the Holy Ghost, you must yield yourself to the leading of the Holy Ghost. We are still in this flesh. The battle continues. That is the reason why we study the Word. There are two different natures in us, and the one you pay attention to will be the one that will rule your life. If you pay attention to the spirit man, you will walk and live a life that will be pleasing before God. You will live a life that will defeat the flesh. That is why we fast. That is why we study. That is why we make sure we don't miss fellowships. So, if you have received the Holy Ghost, He is in you to do a work, to guide you, to lead you, to teach you, to help you to stand. And the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost, listen, there is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of the Spirit that is in you. Praise the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Can we go down to verse 22? Let's read from verse 19 first, because Apostle Paul broke it down. Now, when you yield yourself to the lust of the flesh, this will be the result. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, various emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they we do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is what you see when you yield yourself to the leading of the Holy Ghost. When you pay attention to your spirit man, this is what you see. Now, this sign shall follow them that believe. Can we read it? Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen to this explanation very well. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking as narrated by Apostle Mark here is what Apostle Paul broke down in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. From verse 7. Can we read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, they will lay hand upon the sick shall recover. By the same Spirit, verse 10, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And it says in verse 11, but all this worketh that one and that the same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. Now listen, Brother Abraham tried to let us understand these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, he said, in my name they shall cast out devils. Now, but casting out devil, and then they will lay hand upon the sick shall recover, and, you know, what he's saying there is, them that believe, when we gather like this, these gifts will be among us. Everybody cannot cast out devil. Everybody cannot lay hand on the sick and the sick shall recover. Apostle Paul broke it down. There is the gift of a healing. Everybody cannot have the same gift. And in my name they shall speak in new tongues. Among us there will be people that can speak in tongue. And Apostle Paul broke it down to let us know that there are some that is the gift to some is the gift of speaking in tongue and another one interpretation of tongue. Some may speak in tongue and they may not know the interpretation, they may not have the interpretation, another one will have the interpretation. Not everyone will go and lay hand on the sick and the sick shall recover unless you have the gift. But this sign shall follow them that believe. So he broke it down in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. Let's read verse 28. Listen, he said, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing. He said some. Then he said, help and government and diversities of tongues. Now watch verse 29. He said, are all apostles? All cannot be apostles. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? All cannot be. Some, he gave this. Some, he gave this. Some, he gave this. But if you have received the Holy Ghost, you must operate at least one of those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when you come among believers, you must see these gifts in operation. And William Branham told us that if you go to any church and you don't see these gifts in operation, it says something is wrong. And what is it that is wrong? It's either of two things. It's either that gift, the pastor or the leaders of that church have suppressed the gift and prevented it from operation, or they don't have the Holy Ghost. Because if you have the Holy Ghost, you must have a gift. For when you receive the Holy Ghost, it brings you into the body of Christ. And when you come into the body of Christ, you are coming in there not a redundant member. You are coming with as a joint to supply, according to Ephesians chapter 4. You are coming to supply something to the body of Christ. And therefore, your gift determines your ministry. The part you play in the body of Christ. So, don't think you don't have the Holy Ghost because you have not discovered your gift. And it may surprise you that you may have the gift and you may not even know you have it. And that is the reason we organize programs like this. After this program, you will discover your gift. Yes, let me hear you. You never finish. Are you a member of this church? Online member.
I'm from Asaba.
Yes. From where?
Asaba.
From Asaba. Okay, yes, go ahead.
Number three. The second one. I wanted to ask number two, but you have answered it.
Thank you.
So, the foolish virgin, the door was shut at them and they did not enter. So, the qualification in this explanation you gave, the qualification to be in the rapture is the extra oil. Now, my question is, what is that extra oil? Is it just anointing? Or that I want to know specifically, what is that extra oil?
The extra oil. Amen. First, what is oil before we know the extra one? Do you know what the oil is? Do you know what the oil is?
No, sir.
You will know the oil first now before you know the extra. The oil is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the oil. And the Bible says something. Except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom. And you are born again, Abby. And you cannot be born again except it is by the action of the Holy Ghost. To see the kingdom there is to understand.
Okay.
Now you may understand something. You may understand. It's one thing to understand a particular house, that this is where it is. You understand this is how heaven is. Let's be specific. You understand according to the Bible, this is how it is, this is how it is, this is how it is, street of gold and everything, the throne of God as the Bible have specified them. But it is another to enter inside. So Jesus added in verse 5 of John chapter 3, except a man be born of the Spirit and of the water. So you need more than being born again.
Okay.
You need to be born of the Spirit and the water. There's still something extra for you to do to be able to go inside. It's the extra ororo. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think I've answered you.
Yes, sir.
Thank
remaining
you.
One.
The last one.
Yes, sir. Then, in the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, he said, Jesus said, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Then my question is, does it mean that that the children of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness? So, I ask, does it mean that there are children that the kingdom was meant for and they will not make rapture?
Yes. That scripture is referring to Israel.
Okay.
Salvation was meant for them.
Okay.
They rejected Christ.
Okay.
And then we here now, we will go and they will be left behind to face the tribulation, which is the outer darkness.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So we will not be in the tribulation. Can I hear you?
Bless God.
Okay. Oh, in the upper room. Upper room, yes?
My name is Brother Peter from Kaduna.
God bless you.
My question is this. In Genesis chapter 1, Pastor, I'm confused there. They say in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, or Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it said that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Pastor, my question is this. As far as the darkness and the water exist with God, who created the darkness and the water? That's my question.
God created them both. If your question is who created, even the Bible tells us that God created even evil. The Bible says he created evil against the evil day, the day he will need it.
My second question.
Now, but listen, let me explain it. Verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, correct?
Yeah.
And verse 2 says, and the earth was without form. Now, if you read it, between verse 1 and verse 2, something happened. For the earth to become void, without form, it means something happened. And why we believe that is even science today, is seeing the forces of animals, bones, that predates the creation of Adam. So, that lets us know that on this earth, before man was created, there was an existence. There was an animal kingdom that lived on this earth. And how I know is verse 26 of that chapter 1. If God says, let us create man, can we read it, verse 26? And God said, let us make man, yes. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That statement simply means whatever existed before was not in the image of God and was not in the likeness of God. And then he said, let them reproduce and replenish. The word replenish, it means something existed that is no more. We are now to return it and replenish it. So the language you see in Genesis chapter 1 is a language of revelation. Something is hidden there and written for only who God will decode it for. God bless you.
Pastor, my second question. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist, there's something he said there. He said, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. But he that come after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with the fire. Pastor, is there a difference between the Holy Ghost and fire?
If you follow every service, then you will have known the last message I preached before this camp. I preached on that very verse, and I titled the message, The Introduction of Jesus Christ. And that John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ as the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I said that I broke it down in about 3 or 4 different services. And to you, make you see the need to come now and receive the Holy Ghost. And I brought it down to, for those who didn't hear it, I'm just summarizing it. You can get the tapes. They are there on the tape stand. Now, John the Baptist was telling us who Jesus Christ is. He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And see the way it is put. Can we read it from verse 11, Matthew chapter 3? Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Take note, he didn't say with the Holy Ghost and fire. He said with the Holy Ghost and with fire. English language. Now, see how he will do it. Whose fan is in his hand? And he will thoroughly purge his floor, and his floor is the church. He will purge it, that is separation, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, and this garner here is the heaven. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, that is the lake of fire. Now, he is going to, in this church, he will divide us into 2 groups. One group, he will take them to heaven. Another group, he will take them to the lake of fire. The Father judgeth no man. All judgment is given to the Son. But life is also given by the Son. For Jesus is the tree of life. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life, everlasting life. Now, listen very well. Those of you who didn't hear this message, I preached it for about 4 or 5 weeks. Listen, what he does is now, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There are 2 different periods in God's agenda, divine agenda. Now, he is baptizing with the Holy Ghost. Now, he is separating and carrying the ones that will go to heaven. They will go in the rapture. When he finishes packing them in the rapture, then he will turn and fulfill the second part of his ministry. He will now baptize this earth with fire in what the Bible calls the day of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. And the prophet says, I think it's Isaiah or Isaiah, he said, woe to him that desire the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen. The Bible says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Whether you are a believer or unbeliever, judgment is committed into the hands of Jesus Christ. Believers, we shall also face him according to the parables of the talents, and he will not give us a reward accordingly. Which reward? Reward for what you did with the gift he gave you. The gift he gave us is occupy till I come. And you are to profit with it. What did your gift produce? Some of you, he bought cars for you, Abby. He built houses for you, Abby. You will face him and tell him what you did with it. Amen. Then he will give you the crown. The crown that will, you will follow him to come to earth here and rule with him for 1,000 years. Then Revelation chapter 20, the white throne judgment. Anyone that doesn't go in the rapture now, you remain under the grave till 1,000 years. Then you resurrect. And you will. This time now, it's up for you to know why you are going to the lake of fire. It is called the second death. That is the meaning. That is what John the Baptist was telling the whole world. That this Jesus is the one that has been given the power to carry you to heaven. And he also given the power to destroy with fire. And I showed you that day of the Lord. And so that you also understand. Joel chapter 2. It's there in the Bible. Joel chapter 2. Can we read it? Verse 28, 29. And verse 30. Joel chapter 2. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, that scripture was fulfilled. That scripture was fulfilled. And the men were wondering what was happening after the upper room experience. And Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken by Joel, prophet Joel. And he quoted verse 28 and verse 29. But the prophecy of Joel continues. Let's read it. Verse 30. He said, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Verse 31 now. What will happen? The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord cometh. And Jesus Christ spoke about this very portion in Matthew 24 and verse 29. Can we open it? Matthew 24. This is how Jesus Christ put it. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and on and on. It was the same period it was referring to. The judgment period. It is the judgment period. And Apostle Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 10. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Hallelujah. That is how it will happen. It is the day of judgment for all those who rejected Christ. And for all those who are doing smell now. This is the day of salvation. And he's calling upon you, come now, you are making yanga. Wait until the rapture strikes. Then you will know what next is going to happen to this world. And that's why he said, woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. And I showed you scriptures that the earth will reel like a pendulum. And that by the time he finished, he said, few men will be left. He said men at that time would become as precious as fine gold. Very few men will be left. The trouble that is coming upon this earth. That's what I was preaching for the last 1 month or more. To let you see the reason why you should come here and get the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost is Christ in you for a purpose, to give you the hope of glory. If you don't go, there is no hope anywhere again thereafter. The next thing is weeping and gnashing of teeth. See the way it was put in seal number six, Revelation chapter 6. It's that same day. Let's read it from verse 12. That same day, Revelation chapter 6. That is what happened the same day, that same period known as the day of the Lord. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Is that not what Joel prophesied? And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casted her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll. Is that not what Peter saw? When it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men, and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. What were they saying? They said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This same God that is merciful, this same Jesus that is merciful, Apostle Paul said, he is also a consuming fire. Peter says, a consuming fire. Apostle Paul said, hallelujah. Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, knowing the terror of God, he said, we persuade men. Verse 11, 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's read that verse. Verse 11. This is the way he put it. After he spoke, okay, let's read it from verse 10. But my emphasis is in verse 11. Verse 10. When he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. And now verse 11. He said, see ye then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12, he said, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the Lord, the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Praise the Lord. Make your calling and election sure. Many are called, few are chosen. The hope of glory is the Holy Ghost baptism. The hope of glory is the Holy Ghost baptism. He came to his own. It is his own he came to. And he knows his own. But the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. How does he know them that are his? Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, if you have not the spirit of Christ, you are none of his. He knows you because you have his spirit in you. And so, if you don't have his spirit, you are not of him. He doesn't know you. Because there's no connection between you and him. And only those who have his spirit will hear his voice. The trump of God. Come up hither and let us go and rest. In the resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, We shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise. Hallelujah. When the saints shall come rejoicing, and the tears shall fly away. Oh, we shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise. Oh, we shall rise. We shall rise. Bless you. Yes.
Pastor, my question is this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says, agree with thy adversary speakily while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Pastor, this one is confusing me. I don't know. For instance, if I have a problem with the police or no safety on the road, is it a sin if I...
Is police your adversary? Sir, road safety, are they your adversary?
No, I just use it as an example. I'm confused.
No, it's in the Bible, you read something now. It says you agree with your adversary. Is police your adversary?
Pastor,
police is our friend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes?
So I'm confused on that issue. I don't know.
It's another way. The apostle put it this way. He said, pursue peace with all men. Because it will save you from a lot of wahala. That is what Jesus is saying there. God bless you.
I bless you too.
Thank you. Who is next?
Based on
him. Okay, from Benin Republic. AJ Chineye, Shalom, sir, please. I watched one of the previous ministrations of the baptism of the Holy Ghost this evening. And you always say, open your heart and be in the spirit. Please, sir, can one undergo this 21 days journey of consecration and still not open up her heart and not be in the spirit? If yes, please explain how it can be possible, because I don't want to be a victim also. Is singing one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Let me answer the last one first. So now Holy Ghost, now they sing for inside nightclub, have you? Yes, every talent you have is given by God. And whosoever which spirit you allow to use it, you will use it. You can use your gift the way you choose. And that is why we shall face God and give account of what we did with the talent he gave us. Singing is also a talent from God. And it's to be used to the glory of God. Not inside nightclub. Now the first question is, when we say, be in the spirit, open your heart, it's my own way of saying, concentrate in what we are doing. Your thoughts can distract you. Anything at all can distract you, so that your mind is not focused on what is going on at that moment. After 21 days fasting, it does not stop distractions. It only gives you the ability to resist temptations. And it helps you to focus the more. And it positions your spirit man to receive quicker than if you didn't fast. And it also shows your seriousness of the need to get the Holy Ghost. So don't be afraid. There are some people that they don't even concentrate. But Holy Ghost will still catch them. As long as you are part of this program, nobody will go without the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Yes, sister.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
I have a question based on fasting and prayer. A sister of mine said, she was giving me something to eat. I said, once it's 12 o'clock in the morning, you don't need to eat anything. Then she said, no, fasting started at 6 o'clock in the morning.
So now, I have... If you look at the Bible, there is no doctrine on fasting.
Yes.
You declare the fasting, that's personal fasting, personal one. You are to declare it by yourself, and you will decide from what time to what time. And you will decide also what you want to abstain from. You decide it by yourself. You can decide, I will, from once it's 6 a.m., I will not eat anything again till 3 o'clock. And it is always for a purpose. And God will honor your faith for that purpose to be achieved. And you can decide, till so-so-so time, for so-so number of days, no food, no water. You decide it because you know the purpose for which you are fasting. But if we agree as a church that we're going to fast, we normally give the time from so-so time to so-so time. If we all agree from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., no food. If 12 o'clock you break it, you're a truce breaker. You have sinned. So because we agreed so. God bless you.
One last question, sir. Another one on forgiveness. She said, yeah, when you wake up in the morning while praying, you don't need to ask God for forgiveness. I said, no. Every time you need to ask God for forgiveness. She said, yeah, she has not even sinned against God. Why would she ask for forgiveness?
Okay, now. Praise the Lord. So why are you quarreling with her? She said she has not sinned. Why do you want to tell her she has sinned? Do you understand? And tell her, now you be that now. Me, I know what thing I do. I know the kind of life where they live. I know last night. I know, say I don't pray well before I sleep. I didn't thank him well before I sleep. Before I slept. Upon all the blessing he blessed me yesterday, I was so tired, I slept. When I woke up, his mercy still covered me. So I will say, Father, forgive me that I didn't acknowledge your goodness upon me yesterday. Forgive me. She no sin. Amen. So why are you blaming her? It's between she and God. You know how she relate with God. One of the reasons you are saying, Father, forgive me, is that she may not know that the Holy Ghost will woke you in the night to pray. You say, Abba, Baba, I'm tired. You slept. So when you now wake up and say, Baba, I remember, say, you wake me, make I pray, and I'm tired, Father, forgive me. And I'm not going to do that again, I beg. Anytime you say, Father, forgive me, you confess a sin, it's certainly a sin you know you have committed. So if she says she don't commit anything, why do you want to impute sin to her? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
But that's also a spirit of pride. We have sin of omission and sin of commission. You commit it or you omit it or even your thought. On the screen, there's a question on the screen. From Benin Republic again, Ibanogo Armstrong. My first question is, why will a full Christian be looking for the Holy Ghost for 5 years and won't get it? But a sinner who repents gets it the first time he or she asks. My second question is, what is the Holy Ghost looking for in a person before it comes into this person? Listen. You ask that question as if it is the norm. You are not a Christian until you have received the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit of Christ in you that makes you to be a Christian. Don't confuse the day you gave your life to Christ. You went and knelt down. Listen, we make that mistake. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You answered the call and came to the altar. And your pastor told you, now you are a Christian. Now you are born again. That's why such a man is confused. You are not born again because you answered call and came to the altar. He said, come, you have come. Then he said, he will do something. When you come, wait until he does something. And the reason why he does it, it depends. He chooses how he will give you the Holy Ghost and when he will give you the Holy Ghost. But more importantly, amen, is the condition of your heart. It is your heart, it is yearning for him and gives you. But one short thing is, it's not everybody that asks for the Holy Ghost. And when you ask for the Holy Ghost, why are you asking for the Holy Ghost determines when you'll be given the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you ask for the Holy Ghost because you have seen the need. And this is how the state of your heart is that will make him give you the Holy Ghost. Psalm 42, verse 1 and verse 2. See it? As the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. And verse 2 says, my soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? What is the heart? The heart is an animal. In a bush, when a hunter shoots fire the animal, blood will begin to come out. But there is something about that animal. Once blood is coming out, it's losing strength and losing life. If he can get water and drink, he will not die again. So the heart knows that. As the heart panted after the water brooks. Why is he panting after it? His life is dependent upon that water. If he can just run to where water is and drink it, he knows he will live. How does he run when he receives that shot? He runs, he will not look left, look right. He's focused there. I just know, if I can just get to that water, I will not die. Life is going. And he will run until he gets the water and drink it. The condition of the heart of that animal, that is how desperate we should be for eternal life. And when you come to God like that, he is the fountain of living water. And when you drink that water, the fountain of life is flowing everywhere.
Whosoever drinks shall never ever thirst again.
God bless you. You don't do. Thank you. Yes. I hope I finished that question. Yes.
Shalom, George.
Bless you.
So my question goes like this. In Exodus 32:32, Moses make a statement when he was pleading on behalf of the children of Israel. He concluded by saying that if God will not forgive them, let him remove his name from the book that he write, was written. Then in Revelation chapter 3 verse 5, there is a statement there which said that he that overcometh is being clothed with a new garment. And he concluded saying that he will confess him before his father and he will not blot out his name in the book of life. So my question here is this. In this Laodicean church, this seven churches, is it possible for someone to receive the Holy Ghost and his name is not in the book of life?
When you understand scripture, you have to understand scripture from a holistic view. Your understanding of salvation will help you to understand certain verses. First and foremost, God is not a man. God is not gambling as far as salvation is concerned. God will not save you and hope that you will not disappoint him. God will save you because there is something he knows concerning you. Therefore, once you are saved forever, you are saved as far as salvation is concerned. That the Bible tells us, it said, come to me. Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe should not perish but have everlasting life. So salvation is for all, isn't it? But he stands and says, come to me, all ye that labor. Come, come. But here again, what he said in John chapter 6, verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And they are the one that he will raise at the last day. So you have to understand it. Come to me. It looks as if it is for all. But he's saying that no one can come except the Father himself draw you to him. So the question now is, I am a Christian today because the Father drew me to Christ. Why didn't God draw my senior brother that is an Elijah? He died a Muslim. Why didn't he draw him and we are the same father? Is God partial? Is God partial?
No.
No, he's not partial. So Apostle Paul explained it to us. Praise the Lord. Verse 29, Romans chapter 8. This is it. For whom he did foreknow, foreknowledge, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So before he called you, you have been predestinated to salvation. How? Through the foreknowledge of God. Knowledge of what? Hallelujah. Knowledge of what? It is made clear. Verse 4, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 3 and verse 4. Let's read verse 3. Verse 3 and verse 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him. When? When did he choose you? When? He said before. Before the foundation of this world. He has chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Many are called, few are chosen. When did he choose you? Before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. I have explained this on several occasions. But the emphasis there is that through foreknowledge. Foreknowledge of what? Rebecca. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 9, Apostle Paul broke it down. Two children were in the womb of a woman, Rebecca, before they were born. God said, Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate. Which sin did they commit? By foreknowledge, God knew that Esau will not have respect to Bethlehem. He will sell it for what he will eat. But Jacob, as crookish, as uruuru as he is, he will hold on to the birthright. And God's program goes with that birthright. That's why he loved him. Even before they were born, he knew it. Is he the one that caused Esau to sell his birthright? It's not God. My brother that refused to give his life to Christ, is it God that made him not to give his life to Christ? Is it because his name is not in the book of life? No. By foreknowledge, God saw two groups of people on earth going to hell. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he saw two groups. He saw one group. If I reveal myself to him, he will serve me. If I offer salvation to him, he will receive it. But this other one, like Esau and Cain, like Cain, no matter which miracle I do, he will only remember me when he has problem. He will never come to serve me. He will be using my name even and making commercialize it. Can't you see people who say they are Christians? They receive salvation freely, supposed to be. But they are selling what they have. They are selling oil. So anyway, those are not Christians. They are Babala also. Forget it. There is no Christian that will do that. I repeat. There is no Christian that will tell you to pay him before he pray for you. There is no Christian. That's why the Bible tells us, not all that say, Lord, 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 will enter. That day, some people will come and say, your name, I did miracle signs and wonder. He said, I didn't know you. Get away from me, ye that walk iniquity. I pity these people. Anytime I look at them in their television channels, I see children of hell. I see them, I say, no wonder. Isaiah saw that hell has enlarged her coast. Many more people are coming, so it was increased. God knew all these things. Amen. And there are some. Ordinary, immediately he received a miracle. He said, eh? How did it happen? He said that Jesus do it. Then he said, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And that is how he will forsake every other thing and hold on to that Jesus. That's my testimony. My personal testimony. It was through a miracle healing I received. I asked, what happened? And they showed me in the Bible. And I said, come, who is this Jesus? I didn't wait for anointing to hit me down. Bwah. Gah, gah. You see them, they be shouting. Leave me, oh, leave me, oh. I say, well, I never marry you. I never, leave me, oh, leave me, oh. I enjoy my life first, so. I don't do. You go do. By force. And God can use any means to arrest his own. So he knew it. And those who he knew would give their life to Christ. That is how, from the beginning, he made provision for Jesus Christ. To pay the price of redemption, to redeem those ones. He put our names, therefore, in the book of life. And the Bible says the book of life is written from the foundation of the world. So, he didn't write it by gamble. So, you will not come and commit something, then he will say, because of it, I remove your name from the book of life. With this understanding, you cannot give correct interpretation to the language that is used about removing your name from the book of life. It is your reward that will be removed. But you have eternal life. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. The last one. Last one, based on Mark chapter 16, verse 16. It happened to me, I went on a mission field with some group of people. So at the mission field, and I discover something. And I keep on telling them, no, me, if you ask me, what makes you a Christian is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they find it difficult to understand what I'm saying. I just happen to be like, I'm the only one talking. So my question here is this. Is it wrong to first minister the Holy Ghost to a convert?
To do what?
Is it wrong to first minister the Holy Ghost to a convert before water baptism?
The Bible says the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey. If you don't believe, you will not receive the Holy Ghost. You have to be a believer first. Believe what? Believe what he did on the cross on Calvary. That is the gospel. That's why we go preach the gospel. And when they believe, they identify with that death in water baptism. The Bible says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The baptism there, you believe and you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Of course, after water baptism.
Thank you, sir.
That is the pattern in Acts chapter 2. After they preach the gospel, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sin. And then you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God bless you.